1985, a few years before the Berlin Wall came down, just before the Soviet Union broke up, there were Cold War tensions and threats of nuclear war. But in that year, Tears for Fears released a song, English pop rock band, and the song was called Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And that song spoke of a desire for power and for control. You know, the world chases after that, doesn't it? You know, the world values, prizes, assertiveness, strength and might, and people, and yes, people like you and I, we have a tendency, don't we, to want to push ourselves forward, to promote ourselves, to be aggressively assertive, forceful, self-centered, self-confident, full of pride. We have a tendency to use our strengths and our abilities selfishly so that we can be successful. We want to rule the world. Because people buy into the theme of that song. In sinful self-centeredness, often we can end up trampling over and wounding and hurting other people. In the Sermon on the Mount, in these Beatitudes, life in the kingdom for followers of Jesus is to be radically different, unashamedly counter-cultural. It goes against the sentiments expressed in that song. It goes against the ambitions and the values and the agenda of a broken down, sinful, messed up world. How? Well, think about where we've come from. These are all linked together, these Beatitudes. You blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their spiritual bankruptcy, the awfulness of their sin. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Or blessed are those who mourn over their sin, for they alone will be comforted, the comfort of forgiveness. You know, these all sound like contradictions. It all sounds totally upside down. But for kingdom citizens, we experience the smile of God, the approval of God, the applause of heaven when we live this way. And this is the power of the gospel, the difference the gospel makes in the lives of followers of Jesus. Today, we're going to look at verse 5 here. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But as we do that, firstly, in a world full of people wanting to use their strength selfishly, in a world full of people, you and I, who want to rule the world, we need to get our heads around what meekness is actually all about. And first thing we're going to think about is that meek is not weak. And the horse will make a difference, or make sense, hopefully in a moment or two. If you look up the word meekness, you'll find other words like mild, or gentle, or lowly, or humble. You know, one definition I came across of meekness was people who are just willing to go along with what everybody else wants to do. You know, some would say that meekness is weakness. And we get that, don't we? Because we're in this world that prizes being strong and being assertive, that prizes being mighty. And in that world, it's very easy to think that meek actually means weak. If you're a meek person, you're fragile. If you're a meek person, you're a pushover. You blow over in a gentle breeze. If you're a meek person, well, you've no backbone, you're spineless. That's what the world might think of when it thinks of meek people. Well, is that what Jesus is saying here? Is Jesus saying, blessed are the weak, for they will inherit the earth? I don't think so. So what does meek actually mean? Well, here's where that picture makes some sense. It's actually a Greek word that is used here in the original. The Greek word is praos. And it comes from horses, believe it or not. Apparently, in ancient Greece, these wild, powerful, rebellious horses would be taken down from the mountains and taken down to be trained or to be tamed. Some to pull wagons, to work on farms or whatever, but the best horses were trained for war. But when that process was completed, when they were tamed, those horses were still mighty, still powerful, still tremendously strong. However, when they were tamed, this was a strength under control. I read this week in one article of one rider who explains that horses could gallop at 35 miles an hour into battle and come to a sliding stop at one word from the rider. Tremendous power. And yet, strength under control. That wild horse had been tamed, or another word to describe that wild horse had been meeked. That's where the word comes from. That's the same word, the exact same word that Jesus uses here in Matthew 5, verse 5. Meek does not mean weak. Meek actually means strength under control. You're the meek person. Rather than using their strength selfishly, rather than wanting to rule the world, rather than trampling over other people, wounding people, the meek person, in a spiritual sense, actually understands their weakness before God. The meek person grasps their poverty of spirit. The meek person has mourned over their sin. And the meek person trusts in the Lord. The meek person, with a genuine attitude of humility, depends upon God, relies upon Him, waits upon Him. The meek person is self-controlled, is gentle, is tender, is kind, is others-centered. The meek person uses their strength, their abilities, not for themselves, not so they can rule the world, not so they can be successful. The meek person uses their strength for God and for other people. That's, I think, what Jesus is getting at. John Stott puts it beautifully. He talks about meekness, and he says that this is revolutionary stuff, and it is, isn't it? He says, victory goes not to the wise or the strong, but to those who are so small before God that God can afford to exalt them without the danger of their getting proud. Find that really helpful. To be so small before God. To have the right view of yourself when you think about God and who He is. To not to elevate yourself. Not to push yourself forward. Not to think more of yourself than you should. In the Bible, quite a few characters are described as being meek. The most famous is probably Moses. In Numbers 12, I think it is, Moses is described as being the meekest person in the whole world, essentially. David, Paul are described as being meek, imperfect examples. But what I want us to do is take a few moments to look at the supreme example of meekness. And of course, that is Jesus. I don't know if you've sang that hymn here in recent years, but I remember when I was a wee boy up in Rich Hill, and sometimes they sang Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild. Do you know that one? Yeah, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild. And I think one of the lines was Jesus, the Gentle Lamb. And it was lovely and nice tune. And it was gentle and calm and peaceful and all of that. But I had the wrong idea about who Jesus really was based on my view as a wee boy of that hymn. And it was my problem. It wasn't the song or the hymn's problem. But we could easily get the wrong idea about Jesus. What does the Bible say about Jesus? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is God. We know this. He's God. The Bible in lots of places explains that for us. He's in very nature God. Through Him all things were made. Heaven and earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. He's before all things. In Him all things hold together. I could keep going on and on and on. Jesus is God. And often when I think about meekness and gentleness, I think about Jesus on the first Palm Sunday. And we're all familiar with that story, I'm sure. Jesus entered Jerusalem. He was gentle, wasn't he? Gentle and riding on a donkey. Exact same word. Same Greek word. But he entered Jerusalem as the king, didn't he? The savior of the world. Fulfilling prophecy. Jesus demonstrates his power and authority again and again in the New Testament in his ministry. Spectacular miracles, amazing things happen when Jesus comes. When Jesus speaks, he does amazingly powerful things again and again and again. Jesus was not meek or weak as the world might understand it. But the Bible also says, in fact, Jesus says of himself that he is meek. And the prime example of that is in Matthew chapter 11. And these, again, are probably very familiar words to many of us. Matthew 11, 29. What does Jesus say? He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There's the exact same word again. I am gentle. That Greek word, praos. I am meek. I am gentle, says Jesus. He is God. He is incomparably strong. He has power and authority. And yet his power, his strength, is a strength under control. It's a strength that is absolutely surrendered to his Father, is obedient to the Father's will. And in this way, Jesus is supremely meek. There are many times in Jesus' ministry where he could have exerted his great power and authority. Many times where he could have done that to benefit himself. You think about the opposition he faced from the religious leaders, the hostility. Think about his temptation in the wilderness by Satan, his trial before Pilate when the soldiers beat him and mocked him. Jesus could have used his power and authority then to stop it all. And yet, his was a strength under control. He was meek. Meekness, gentleness, humility. Paul puts it beautifully in Philippians 2. He speaks of Jesus as being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the supreme example of meekness, strength under control. Now, what about you and I? What is this saying to you and I? If we're followers of Jesus, if we're living in the kingdom for him, don't we want to become more like Jesus? I hope the answer is yes for all of us. And I'm sure, like me, you're constantly aware of how unlike Jesus in lots of ways you are a lot of the time. But we long to become like him. We want to be changed from the inside out. We long to be like Jesus. And so in our lives, surely, as we live in the kingdom, we want there to be less pride, less self-sufficiency, less pushing ourselves forward, less promoting ourselves and our agenda, less of the using our strength selfishly and trampling over other people. That's the way of the world, isn't it? You got to go and do it for yourself at all costs. Keep your eye on the prize. Forget about everybody else. It's all about me. Dude, that is sin, isn't it, in us? We are called to be different if we're living in the kingdom for the King. If you and I have experienced his saving grace, if we are in Christ, if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then we ought to be passionately praying for our lives to be marked by meekness. Because it doesn't come naturally, does it? You can't wake up tomorrow morning and say, "Now I'm going to be meek." We can't manufacture meekness. We can't do it by ourselves. It's impossible. This meekness is a supernatural thing. This is a God thing. God does it in our hearts. God does it in our lives. And it's a bit like what we were talking about with the boys and girls, the fruit of the Spirit. We can't just tag those things onto our lives. All of a sudden, there we are, all those fruit perfectly formed and everybody can see it. You and I, we need grace. We need Jesus every single day. We need the Holy Spirit to equip us and empower us and to change us from the inside out. I wonder, as we look at our lives and think about our lives, are they full of meekness? Is meekness something that marks your life and my life? Gentleness, humility, dependence. Maybe a better question to ask is of the people who live with us or are in our homes or in our workplaces, our friends at university, when they look at our lives, do they see meekness? Or do they see someone who is aggressively assertive, who's full of self-confidence and pride, who is pushing other people out of the way? If we're living in the kingdom, we ought to be following the example of Jesus. We ought to long to be more like Jesus. We ought to be praying for meekness. Meek is not weak. Meekness is strength under control. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. And then, well, he promises the earth in the second part of that verse. You know, that's an expression that I've heard a lot over the past few weeks, and I know I keep referring to the elections, and probably most of us will be glad when Thursday is over and we can move on with real life again. But in the build-up to these elections, how often do we hear politicians right across the spectrum essentially promising the earth? Promising the earth. And then in a year's time, we'll all probably be looking back and wondering, hopefully not, but where, what about all the promises? You're promising the earth and failing to deliver. In the same way, if you get a new job, you're coming into a new business or company, and your employer might promise you the earth, your raises and promotions and more pay and all sorts of things. And how often does that fail to come through, fail to deliver? Or you might think of a sports coach. I keep referring to sport as well. It's just my experience. But you imagine a sports coach who promises you the earth, promises you first team opportunities, promises you you're going to get advancing your career here, promises you you've got a route to the top. And yet, they fail to deliver. Those are the sort of promises we're used to in this world, aren't they? People promise the earth and they fail to deliver. That's our experience. Well, in Matthew 5, verse 5, this promise is not like that at all. This promise is different. This promise comes from Jesus. Jesus will not fail to deliver. He will keep his promises. But what does this promise actually mean? And how does this promise help us today? Jesus says in verse 5 there, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Like, what on earth is that all about? Well, to understand this, we need to go back into the Old Testament just for a moment or two. And we need to specifically think about Psalm 37. If you can flick that up or turn to it, that might be helpful, but we're not going to spend too long on it. Jesus was aware of this psalm. Jesus used the Psalms, and he deliberately used Psalm 37 in this context. Psalm 37 verse 11 says this, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. That's the Old Testament. That's Psalm 37 verse 11. And in the Old Testament, when you hear about inheritance, often that was connected with taking possession of the promised land. Now the context of that psalm is God's people living in the land but not possessing it. And there were evil men all around them. And the evil men seemed to be doing quite well for themselves. And in Psalm 37, it's verse 1, I think, the psalm says to these people, God's people, do not fret. Don't worry when you see the evil people doing so well and you're struggling. Don't worry about your situation. And the application of it all to God's people is that in meekness, they are to keep on trusting in God. They are to depend upon God and trust that ultimately he will deliver them this land that he promises. Ultimately, they will inherit the land. They will enjoy blessing and peace, that wonderful promised inheritance. It will happen. But in the meantime, they were to be meek. not force themselves forward, not to try and do it themselves, not to try and be strong and achieve it. They were to be meek and to depend upon God. So when we read Matthew 5:5, with all that in mind, you know, Jesus, he's reminding his disciples, his people, of a wonderful, certain, guaranteed inheritance. You and I, we look at the world, and maybe we look even at our own lives. Have you ever wondered why other people seem to be doing better than us? Let's be honest. Have you ever done that? Those people out there, they're doing so well for themselves. And maybe even particularly when it's people who don't go to church, who don't follow Jesus, who have no interest in religion or anything like that, and they're doing so well in the world. And we wonder why. In lots of ways, we're a bit like the people that psalm was addressing. Evil people all around us, evil people prospering. What's going on? What about our lives? Well, I think we need to hear these words of Jesus. In our lives, in our circumstances, in all the struggles, in all the darkness, in all that's going on, we need to keep on trusting in the Lord. We need to keep on depending upon him. And we need to remember that our inheritance, Jesus talks about inheritance here. Our inheritance is infinitely more glorious than anything this world can possibly offer us. Our inheritance, this inheritance Jesus writes of or speaks of, he's getting at kingdom blessings. You and I, if we're in Christ, we are enjoying kingdom blessings now. But even better is yet to come, because you and I can look forward to enjoying them fully in glory. We can look forward to heaven. We can look forward to an inheritance there that can't perish, spoil, or fade, being in his presence forever. That's what we've got to look forward to. With all of this life in the kingdom, there's an already not yet aspect to it. But our inheritance is secure, it's certain, it's guaranteed, it's unshakable. We have a living hope, and we're going to see Jesus one day. We're going to be with Jesus forever. That's our inheritance. And I don't know if there's anything better, is there? Is there anything better in the whole world than knowing you're going to go and be with Jesus forever? Doesn't that help us today? I don't know what you're facing this week. I don't know what you're worried about, what your struggles are, what your pain is. But isn't it remarkable? Isn't it incredible to think about the inheritance that we have, the future that Jesus promises us? The world says, be strong, be powerful, push yourself forward, push your own agenda, assert yourself, forget about everybody else. Everybody wants to rule the world, don't they? The message of the kingdom is different. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those whose strength is under control. Blessed are the gentle, the humble. For they, and the they here is emphatic. You could translate it, only they will inherit the earth. I wonder, where are you and I at today? When we think about meekness, is it evident in our lives? Are we different to your unbelieving neighbors, people in the community? Are we salt and light? Do people look at us and do they see meekness? Do they see humility? Do they see gentleness? Do they see us being kind and compassionate and caring? Life in the kingdom is to be radically distinct, radically countercultural. And when we live this way, we point people towards Jesus. Shall we take a moment just to pray? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the tremendous challenge of your word. God, we confess before you that often we live our way. Often we pursue our ambitions. Often we're forceful. Often we put ourselves first. Father, forgive us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us to be people who live lives marked by meekness, aware of our weaknesses. And thank you, Lord, that you're the one who floods our weaknesses with strength. You're the one whose every promise is enough. You're the one who sustains us with arms of love. Father, help us this week to be aware of our sin, aware of our Savior Jesus, aware of your Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we passionately pray that you would help us to live lives that are marked by meekness. As in Jesus' name we pray all of these things. Amen. I'm going to finish.